Today I have a challenge. Graduating seniors, commencing to a new chapter of life. New Cumberland Church of the Nazarene moving to a new chapter as one congregation of God's great church. It's actually a challenge to all Christians. Here it is. Big challenge. Whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to Him through God the Father. Wow, this is a stunning challenge. Especially when you think of our day, the confusion, the carnage, the carnality all around us. This is not a promise for safety or guaranteed success. As I prayed for seniors, I recognize that passage. God says, I have a promise for you, but I left out to make you a success, to prosper you, because we've so twisted what it means to be prosperous. In fact, if we think about the ancient covenant of God, it read this way, I will bless you and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. The picture on the left is one of the favorite pictures that I carry in my gallery of pictures. It's a sunrise in Grand Canyon. Just when you're seeing the dark and you watch the sun and through, you just sort of see these the silhouette. And as the sun comes up, it reflects on that the face of those rocks. And something I learned on that, you don't look at the sun in the sunrise, you look what the sun is shining on. So if you can picture, that's sort of that cliff there is off to the west, the left, and the sun was coming up over there, and that was sort of glorious and joyous by itself, but the reflection. And so as I look at this challenge. Whatever you do or say, do it as a representative. And what would happen if we all reflected the glory of God? What if? But the more I got thinking about it, this really isn't an appropriate picture. I couldn't think of what an appropriate picture is. You see, we're not walls of cliffs standing there while the sun goes up and passes over. Sun comes up, passes over. That's not what we are we? We're not cliffs. We're human beings that we read earlier, in whom the glory of God lives and dwells, and God wants to work through us to touch people. And sometimes we get this big picture. Somebody needs to bless the whole world. And there's no one person that way. God wants to work through each one of us where we are at, in that point of the community where we live. And so here's the challenge. Be a representative, yes, reflecting the glory of God, but living out that glory. So with that in mind, let me read a portion of that full chapter of that verse found in Letter to the Colossians, chapter 3. It's really written to Christians. It's a real challenge. And the chapter starts off, since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. You died to this old life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all His glory. So put to death sinful earthly things lurking within you. Things like sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of the world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still part of this world. But now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, dirty language. Don't lie to each other. You have stripped off your old sinful nature with all its wicked deeds. And here's where I want to start looking today. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and be like Him. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you are Jew or Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave, free, educated or uneducated, you know, whatever. Christ is all that matters, and He lives in all of us. Since God chose you to be the holy people He loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults. Forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you. So you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. Let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace. And always be thankful. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all wisdom that He gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. As I read through this, there are eight components for living as genuine representatives of Jesus in the midst of our confused, dark world. I invite you to write them down on that sermon notes page, on the back of the prayer page, or just watch it. Basically, if you'll just keep this passage marked in your Bible and just go back to them, because I kept looking for this little acrostic that would just sort of pull it all together, it's just not there. So bookmark it in your Bible on your phone or something. This is one just to go back to and say, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. And just keep growing in them. Because there's some of them you just have to keep redoing and recultivating. So there's eight components. Let's look at them. First of these, relish your identity. You are a saint. Since I put that one together, I'd probably say submit yourself to Jesus as Lord. That's the starting place. Just submit yourself to God. See, God chose us to be holy people. To be a holy person is someone who belongs to God. We don't belong to ourselves. That's a key. We don't belong to us. We belong to God. Oh, I know there's that general, generic, we're all children of God. And we act like a bunch of devils. Yeah. Then we rationalize because, oh, I'm just a human. You got to submit yourselves to God. We belong to Him. This chapter started off, you have been raised to new life with Christ. And when we confessed our sins and we placed our faith in Jesus, when we were baptized into Christ, He says, you died to this life and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And so, looking ahead, when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all His glory. Do you see the future tense of this? Let me bless you and you'll become a blessing. Well, there's certain that, but it doesn't say make you wonderful. And so then you'll, no, it says, just follow me. And way out there in the future, you'll share in my glory. You like that one? See, I want to share in His glory now so that I'll be wonderful. We want an experience now so that we'll be wonderful people. That's just not the way God works. The apostle said, once you were far away from God, your enemies, separated from him in your evil thoughts and actions. But now God has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. Wow. Submit yourselves to God. The apostle in another letter says, you are washed, you are sanctified, you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of God. You've been made a new person in Christ. Friends, that means we are holy brothers and sisters in Christ. Have you had a good fight with a brother or sister lately? Welcome to the family. We are holy brothers and sisters in Christ who are characterized by faith in Christ, love for one another, hope in the glory of God. Wow. Relish your identity. Second to that, put on your new nature. Deliberately put on the life of Jesus so you will be his representative in your world. This chapter, another way we could say those first few verses is, look up, not down. Look up at Christ. Look through Christ, not down at the world around you. Make Jesus your Lord and model. Think about the ways of heaven, not of earth. That's our model. Put on your new nature. And be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like him. Think about the realities of life. We grow weary in the constant battles. Some days you just get so tired, you don't know if you can face family or job another day. You look at the news, it doesn't look very promising. Our hope is not a new president. Our hope is Christ. But as we grow weary, we need to be renewed. We are wounded by the words and accusations of people around us, the heartaches, the disappointments. We are susceptible to being shaped by the world's ways of thinking. Even as a church sometime, we oftentimes let the corporate model shape us instead of the scriptural directions of how we're supposed to work together as church. We're susceptible to being shaped by the world's models because that's what we live in. On a daily basis. We substitute a philosophy of life in place of a vibrant, life-transforming relationship with Jesus. That's a big difference. I don't have time to get into that one. Because of those realities, we need to be renewed as we learn to know our Creator. You say, I know Jesus. Okay, yeah, you do. But you don't have a relationship until you've let that knowledge of Jesus grow in relationship. I've said it so many times. Say it again. Kathy's and my relationship is not the same today as it was 46 years ago. Or 20 years ago. We've both gotten older. We begin to look at life different. Life changes. And that relationship continues to mature and grow. But some people are still thinking, oh, I went and got saved once. Now I'm saved. Blessings on you. What about growing in your relationship with Jesus? A relationship with Jesus is not a ticket punched to get us to heaven. It's a way of living that ultimately we'll share in heaven. But in the meantime, God has a place for us Don't substitute a philosophy of life with Jesus as simply a teacher. I challenge you, grow in your relationship with God. That means turn to Jesus daily. Put on that new nature. Touched it last week. Touch it again this week. We rejoice in our... Bob, does that really say that? Megan, does it really say that? When's the last time you rejoiced in conflict? You don't see my hand going up. We rejoice in our sufferings because sufferings produce perseverance. I hated papers in college and high school. I hated them with a passion. You see, I'm one of those kinds that I always had these grandeur ideas that I was going to get started early on that paper and I was going to have plenty of time to get it done. Only problem is I'm a personality that always wants to check this rabbit trail and that rabbit trail and another idea and this idea. And all of a sudden, it's 2 days before due date of the paper or sermon. And of course, 3 more questions, sir. I just want to research those. That's just me. And so it'd be the last night. And then I got married midway through college and through my seminary years. And a blessed, beautiful lady, Kathy, would be up all night typing. I still remember a night in seminary. Kathy's late at night typing away. We get a pound on the wall from the apartment next door to us. Oh, we need to move the typewriter to a different area instead of the adjoining wall of the next, you know, it just... You know what I discovered? Every time I got done, especially if I got an A, there was something, what I had done in the process, the struggle, I had had to formulate my thoughts into paper. And I discovered that's when I grew. Not studying for a test. Tests never helped me learn a blooming thing. Was the papers, the dialogue. Suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character. Character produces hope. You want hope? Got to build character first. You want character? You have to start out with perseverance. Aren't you blessed? Hope does not disappoint us because God has already poured His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom He has given us. I don't have time for that lovely one from James. Count it all joy when you suffer trials. At chapter 1 of James, if you want to read that one, if you're not wanting a challenge, do not do it. It will not bless you. Fourth, clothe yourself. I hate this one. Clothe yourselves with tenderhearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. See, there was a time I thought, well, okay, I put it on, now I'm going to be... Do you know what? The picture here is constantly, you just got to keep putting it on every day. There's another letter in which the apostle talks about putting on the armor of God as you encounter battles against the forces of darkness in this evil world. But on this one, he says, just clothe yourselves with tenderhearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. See, I pray for patience. He says, I gave it to you. It's one of the fruit of the Spirit. Oh, that means I've got to put it into practice. I've got to learn how to use it. Clothe yourselves with tenderhearted mercy, kindness, humility. What do these expressions of Christian living look like in daily life? Daily, we are called to cultivate. There are ways that just have to be put on daily. This next one, I like even less. So buckle your seatbelt. Look stoic. Are you ready? Make allowance for each other's faults. And forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Anybody remember Mary Anderson and her little comment? You know, sort of that farm woman, Nancy Myers' mother. And she would always bring up, I keep remembering, forgetting their names, but there's the couple in which Mama says to Papa, "I think the whole world's gone crazy. No one's sane except me and thee, and sometimes I wonder about thee." Wow, there's so many temptations here. So you see, every human being is a finite person susceptible to failure, just like you and me. Jesus taught us to pray, "Forgive us our trespasses as we have already forgiven those who have trespassed against us." I wish he'd left that one out. And I've said it before, and I say, we get so, it's just so easy to glibly, "Lord, forgive me, I trespassed. I'm such a dunce. Did it again." No reflection on our life. Letting God speak to us where we're at so that we grow. We just sort of blow by. How about really praying forgiveness and really forgiving those who are around us? Make allowance for each other's finiteness, their faults. Wow. And then release judgment and vengeance to God. Jesus taught that. Matthew chapter 5, chapter 7, Romans chapter 12. Just leave vengeance to God. God's going to take care of some things down the road that you can't. I know, easier said than done. There's some things we have to release to God. And that's not easy when there have been wounds and disappointments and brokenness. Well, let's move on to the next one. This helps. Just clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. We are called to love people for who they are. And generally, we have to leave the repair work to them and God. You realize I don't have the power to fix anybody, and you don't either. How many of you are parents? When did you realize you were fighting a losing battle? For those of you with young children, let me give you a little bit of hope. When they hit their 20s and 30s, sometimes you go, "I told you so. It's a great day." You have to hold on for a little bit. God has a way of using life to bring truths back. Former pastor in this area in one of the Methodist churches used to say, talking about young adults and they're drifting away from church, which is a natural, common way of life. And he says, there's nothing like a mortgage and a papoose to bring them back to church. It's called the realities of life. We can't fix people. You can't fix me. Some of you have been trying for a long time. I can't fix you. I've tried that a long time. There's only one person that can fix me. And did you know even God is limited because he said, I made you a free moral agent. And God can't do anything until I say yes. Right? He created us with free choice. And he blocks his sovereignty at the point of your response to him as God. It's not enough to simply feel love, and we're called to live it. The Apostle Peter says, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins. When all this gets too heavy, go to item number 7. Let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your heart. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace. Jesus said, I give you my peace. A peace that's unmatched by the world. Going back to that developing a relationship instead of a philosophy about religion, a relationship with Jesus, it's only in that relationship that we cultivate the peace of Christ. Let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. You are members as one body. You are called to live in peace and always be thankful. My tendency is to look at what I don't have, what I'd like to have, what needs to be done, and in that I often forget what I do have. Always be thankful. 8 components in the middle of our world. Let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. History has many great reformers, and one of the joys of history is studying and finding and identifying some of those great reformers along the way. One of those reformers was a man by the name of William Wilberforce, early 1800s England. William Wilberforce became the driving force that drew up legislation abolishing slavery in the English Empire. And finally, an act setting slaves free in the English Empire. His friend was William Pitt, who the youngest prime minister to ever serve, or youngest person to serve as prime minister of England. And so they worked together. And in the movie Amazing Grace that came out in 2007, there's two little clips that I think are just fantastic. Watch the first one. You got that there, Michelle?